KBGG Des Moines, a Cumulus sports station. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Online at 1700thechamp.com. Steen on Sports is on your radio now.
Welcome back to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. You can also check us out on Facebook at 1700 The Champ. Download the podcast. Oh, busy weekend. It's always nice to get to start out the weekend with somebody special and a great guest, and we're going to get that right now. I've got Kevin Lehman coming in. He was at the Missouri Valley. He was calling Missouri Valley this past weekend, called the Drake Loyola game. He is at K Lehman Sports. Kevin, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good. Trying to relax here after a busy weekend of basketball.
Oh my goodness! Before we get to the Drake Loyola game, and this one has been bothering a few of us back in Des Moines and Cedar Falls. A really weird thing happened to the UNI Panthers, having a false positive, testing negative, and it wasn't the Missouri Valley rules that kept them out of playing. It was either in St. Louis County rule or the building rule. Not a very good, Ben Jacobson didn't take it very well. The team didn't take it very well, and kind of a sad way to end your season.
Yeah, it was very unfortunate, but I tell you what, Steen, I think it's kind of a precursor. We may see this happen in some other conference tournaments. We may see this happen in the NCAA tournaments. But, yeah, very unfortunate because the word is it was a false positive. The Valley protocol is that you could have played by contact tracing, but the city of St. Louis, they're the ones that shut it down. I know the Valley administrators fought hard from the time that test came in, which was, on a Thursday night, to try to get that game between Drake and Northern Iowa to go off as scheduled.
And I was trying to wonder, Kevin, and, thinking of it in Drake's perspective and you and I's perspective, but does getting rest for Drake help more than if they'd have played that game against you and I and won?
Oh, Steen, I think it definitely did because, look at the roster that Darren DeVries used. He basically was playing five guys. He'd say, played Samaka a little bit, and Jonah Johnson a little bit. So, yeah, he just didn't have any numbers. And I thought if they would play three games in 3 days, that would have been really tough on him.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, that it would have been a different score maybe on Sunday. Getting back to you and I just one more time, not having your best player, really picking up their game towards the end of the year, Ben Jacobs has got to be pretty happy heading into next year.
Well, he's upset right now. He just had the press conference trying to sort this thing out.
Yeah.
And I think it looks like Pickford said he's going to come back for a fifth year. Burhau is undecided. He's going to look at what he can do and some options as far as playing professionally. But they need to get A.J. Green back and healthy and Antoine Kimmins. And that's a group with Austin Fife inside. You got Noah Carter who come on really strong. So they got some depth there. And I can't remember who they signed. They got a Duax kid out of Dubuque that's a good player. So they got some pieces in place there. The whole Valley League is going to be really good next year. Look at Drake. He's going to bring all those guys back, and you're going to add Tucker DeVries to that roster also.
Yeah, that's a big piece, too. Once again, we're talking to Kevin Lehman. He's at K Lehman Sports. So let's talk a little bit. We texted a little bit during over the weekend, and you said the one thing that Drake couldn't have happen is they couldn't get blown out. It looked for a while that it might happen. I think they just ran out of gas. We knew that was going to happen. Loyola, a very tough team and can cause a lot of turnovers. But they came back and fought as hard as they could. It was only a 10-point game. What's the chances that, everything I'm looking at right now looks pretty good. Now, things can change when everybody else has their conference tournaments, but I still think it looks pretty good for Drake.
Well, you look at that game, I think Yesufu had some leg cramps. I don't think he was 100% that second half. He got knocked down another time where he played with a teammate. So I don't think Joseph Yesufu, he was kind of quiet in the second half after making those big baskets early and, of course, in the game against Missouri State. So, And then we thought about this as we were broadcasting, because we had the radio broadcast on St. Louis station. You know, they were just one Tank Hemphill away, because they kept running Murphy in the post and the mid post and playing Darren Brody up high, and that gave Loyola a lot of problems. You know, Sturz got in there, but he wasn't as effective as Tank Hemphill would have been in what we call that mid-range post-up that Darren DeVries likes to use of those players. So, yeah, I just don't know with the committee how they move forward with injured players. Because if I was Drake, I would announce as soon as I knew it that Tank Hemphill was ready to go, so the committee knew they were ready to use him.
I agree with that, and he will make a big difference. And, you know, Darren got some playing time from some younger players. With, you know, he gets a couple of pieces back also. I think all of his guys said that they were thinking about coming back, so they're going to be so tough. And I hope they get a chance to kind of show what they're made of. I wanted to get, there's just a couple of coaching questions I want to ask about too. And I wanted to ask you about, I mean, you know, Greg McDermott, and he was up at UNI when I was there. I know Greg from when he was 18, 19, and 20. It's a tough situation for him because of the atmosphere that we're in right now, that, if you say something that you shouldn't be given a chance, a second chance to you know, grow from it. From everything that I know of him, and I wanted to ask you, I think if anybody deserves a second chance, it's Greg McDermott.
Well, I'm with you, Steen. I coached him at UNI, and he's the reason I got into broadcasting, because he went to took the Iowa State job. He asked me to come in on that Cyclone Network. That's how I got into my television career. And so we've been friends for a long time. He was at Wayne State. I was Nebraska, Omaha. My first win as a head college coach was against Mac's team at Wayne State. You know, great guy. And they did just announce it this afternoon that he's been reinstated for the Big East tournament. So that is a good sign there. It looks like it's going to be a one-game suspension, the game against Xavier, and now he'll be back with the team. Here's the problem he's running into, though. He's going to go into New York City, Madison Square Garden, the media capital of the world. So hopefully that they can move forward with this. Bruce Rasmussen announced that they would do some things next month as far as education seminars and so forth to try to learn from this and make it turn it from a negative into a positive.
Yeah, and I hope so, because I really do, and I believe that. In all my heart, that is somebody that deserves a second chance. When you're talking about coaching, Greg Lansing getting let go today by Indiana State, and I scratch my head, Kevin, because sometimes it's never greener on the other side. It doesn't happen very often that you get rid of somebody that the kids like, the players like, the student athletes like, and you think that, you know, it's all about the wins, and at some point you just keep repeating bad mistakes, and I feel bad for Coach Lansing today.
Well, you know, us inside knew this was coming. Yep. Ever since the beginning of the season, that not extended his contract, and you know, he's one win away from tying the all-time winning wins list at Indiana State. Finished what, 11 wins in the league this year, 10 last year. I think they've had a total of 10 double-figure wins in the Valley. He's had five of them. So it's a tough business to be in. Indiana State's going to have to make some changes to the program, or they're going to end up in the same boat here in about 5 or 6 years. I mean, you got to compete against the Loyola team, Northern Iowa, Bradley. They got some resources. We've all known that Indiana State probably has the fewest resources in the league, and that Greg Lansing has done the most with the least. And, you know, he's an Iowa guy. We've known him. I've known him for 30 years, too. From Harlan, Iowa, played for his dad, coached Des Moines Roosevelt, was on Alford's staff at Iowa. You know, just an all-round great guy, and he's in it for the right reasons. He's making his players better people. He's graduating them, giving them opportunities after they get done with their college career. So hopefully he'll stay in coaching. I've been through it. He's been through it. A lot of times you're kind of sour right after. You got to take a little time and step away. And I'd like to see him on a staff again or as a head coach somewhere else.
I agree with that. Once again, we're talking to Kevin Lehman. He is at K Lehman Sports. Let's talk. I want to talk about Fran, but before I talk about Fran, let's talk about Greg Gard. And he kind of went off on the referees and the way the game was called over this past weekend. And one of the first couple of texts I got was, can you imagine what would be going on right now if that was Fran McCaffrey giving that same speech instead of Greg Gard? And I think Fran gets, some of it Fran's brought on himself, and I'm perfectly fine with that. But it is a little different than the kind of reaction that Greg Gard got after that game.
Well, you build up, in coaching and a lot of things, you build up goodwill. And, Greg Gard's built up some goodwill, allows him to go off on that rant. And I watched that play. I didn't think it was a hook and hold, according to the letter of the law. And that's, that is a rule they put in about 3 years ago. That Purdue player Haas broke his elbow. That probably would have put them in the Final Four, that Purdue team. And they called that play all the time. And I had that first series at pre-Thanksgiving tournament in the Paradise Jam. We had like four of those a game. It was unbelievable. And then it kind of went away. That's the first call I've seen of a hook and hold this season, as I watched that replay on the Big Ten Network of Davison getting hooked up with Murray in that situation. So it's kind of an odd call, especially late in the game like that.
It is, and a bunch of video review, and the things, everybody was all in, to say, well, it helps correct calls, but when you go over as much as they did in the last part of that game, some people start to realize that, there's no such thing as a perfect call or a perfect game being called. And sometimes you have to let that stuff go. But it took forever yesterday. I think, and I had a conversation again this weekend with a bunch of my buddies, that with all the injuries and kind of unknown, except for having Luka Garza coming back, I think one of Fran's best coaching jobs that he's done in a long time.
Oh, this past season?
Yes.
I agree with you. The 11 seasons, this is the best his team has ever played defense. And that's always been the knock. And, I said this before. He came in here, he's going to say, we're going to play up-tempo. You're going to like it. He didn't talk about leading the league in defense. But I think they've realized here, ever since that loss to Indiana at home, that they got to start guarding people. And they're so much better on-ball defense. They're so much better at their recoveries, this Iowa team, and they're going to need to be advanced in the tournament because, we've heard these players talk all season about their goals are be a Final Four team and compete for a national championship. Well, they're going to have to guard to do that, and they're doing that in the games that I've seen of recent. So let's see how far this Iowa team can come. I see they're going to have probably Wisconsin again in this Big 12 tournament.
And having a double bye definitely helps. I haven't seen a report come out on the severity of Wheezy's ankle injury, but having a double bye gives you at least a few days to try to work through that with him and playing like they were. I mean, they do have a chance to go far in the tournament without him, and C.J. Frederick still being a little hobbled. And he goes off the court it just looks like his leg's going to fall off. Without those two, that would be a really tough situation for these Hawkeyes.
Yeah, because, those guys really spread the defense. And, back to that officials call, understand these officials are being scrutinized every play because they're the same situation. They want to advance and officiate in the NCAA tournament and hopefully into an Elite Eight Final Four, and they're being scrutinized and judged in every call they make. That's probably why they spent so much time at the monitor to get that call right.
Yeah, and I agree. Once again, we're talking to Kevin Lehman. He's at K Lehman Sports. A couple more quick ones for you. We've got about 3 minutes left. Scott Drew's becoming a pretty hot name to go to some of the openings that people think may be. I've seen the facilities at Baylor, expectations at Baylor. I think Scott Drew's a great coach, but boy, going somewhere else, expectations could change very quickly.
Well, Porter Mosier told me this. He had opportunities to leave after that Final Four run. Ben Jacobson told me this. He had opportunities to leave Northern Iowa after his runs. Don't mess with happy. If you're in a good place, your administration has things going for you, your family likes it, why do you mess with that? And we've seen people leave, and it hasn't worked out. So it's worked out a long time for Scott Drew at Baylor. I don't know why. He's in one of the best leagues in the country. you've got a program that's competing for championships and a program competing for a national championship, I just don't know why you would leave unless the NBA calls.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And you know, you're starting to see a little bit more success with some NBA coaches, too. So that helps him in that area. As always, Kevin, thank you for hopping on and always answering my text, and I appreciate it. And we'll talk a little bit more with the NCAA coming up.
Yeah, sorry I couldn't get on. I was getting ready to go on air for one of those games down there last Thursday or Friday when we talked. But keep your eye on Drake. Now, you got to keep your eye on the what we call the bid stealers. American League's got a couple, Big East might have, so be interested to see how these tournaments go and if Drake can stay on the right side of the bubble.
I want him to stay there. Kev, as always, thanks, buddy.
All right.
Kevin Lehman, it's always great to have him on after a busy weekend like that. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day. Now we're going to talk about those Iowa Hawkeyes. Sean Bock coming up next. We're going to have a lot of Hawkeye talk and a lot of Luka Garza talk after the break.
Connect with Steen on Sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Another beautiful day, a beautiful day coming up tomorrow, then kind of dropping back a little bit. So hopefully everybody gets a chance to get outside and enjoy. Want to talk about a couple of sponsors. One that we are going to do is BetMGM. If you want to place a sports bet in Iowa, download the app, put it on your phone, enjoy. It's very simple, very easy. All you have to do is download the app, deposit, and bet to win. You can check out all the specials. There's all kind of parlay and special offerings. If you're going to sports bet in Iowa, use BetMGM. We also have Northwest Bank. And if you give me just a second here, I'm going to bring Sean Bock in. Hey, Sean, how are you?
Good, Steen. Sorry about that. No. I didn't go through on my phone the first time for some reason.
It's no problem. I got to do one more thing here. So Northwest Bank's coming in. It just won the top workplace honor again for the sixth year in a row. Great place to work. Great place to do your banking. Member FDIC, two locations in Ankeny and one in West Des Moines. So, Sean, how happy are you after this past weekend?
Yeah, I mean, outside of, you know, the good weather, it's literally the perfect day today in Iowa City. I was actually in St. Louis a lot this weekend, or I was in St. Louis this weekend for a football thing. So I was able to catch like the last 5 minutes or so of the Iowa-Wisconsin game. And, you know, it really, I'm sure we'll talk about this later, but I really should not have been able to watch the last 5 minutes of that game, considering was supposed to get home at like 1, and I think the game ended at what, like 1:30 or something, because of the amount of reviews that they had.
You know, something has to, you know, and I've talked about that, or I talked to Kevin Lehman before, and he was calling the Drake Loyola game, and you know, there has to be a time limit. That's always been, you know, I hate the fact that you can use replay and you get to use slow motion, and I hate the fact that you get to sit and stare at it. Neither one of those things should happen in replay. It should be game speed. You get to see if you missed it. If you can't for 100% sure say you did or you didn't, play stance. I mean, we're giving referees too much TV time with their backs to us, and I think they enjoy it.
Yeah. You know, it's a common trend for a lot of the officials, too. I mean, obviously, Ted Valentine, TV Teddy, was one that got the big rap board. And, you know, this year, I mean, I know Iowa fans and Big Ten fans alike have, it almost seems like every game or so, like, Bo Borowski is calling the game. And, you know, I think there's some part to it where it's like, yeah, like, they want to make sure they get it right. But then again, it's like, where do you draw the line where you want to get it right, but you also want to realize, like, hey, like, this is a human sport. I mean, look at umpires in baseball. I know it's maybe a little bit different, but you're not reviewing every balls and strikes, every pitch. I mean, maybe we're getting to that point eventually, but it's still just like it should be limited. I think if it's close enough, like I feel like you shouldn't have to be able to do it after every call. And you know, I think the hook and hold is also a really controversial call too. I know that's more of like a safety thing, but it's also like, okay, like you're going to review every time like players get tangled up down low. Like that just doesn't make sense to me. It's like they always preach about freedom and how much freedom, you know, they want. Like they want players to have more freedom on the basketball court with, you know, the space and, you know, everything. And I just don't see it with how many replays they have and, you know, how really reliant they are. It's like, at this point, it's like, what's the point of officials if you're just going to review every single close play? Like, that just doesn't, it just doesn't add up to me.
Right. And the only time that I'll take it one step backwards, I guess, that if it's a flagrant foul or it was egregious, I'm all in for them taking their time. But on what they've been taking their time on, especially in the past couple of weeks, is just, you know, that's not what we expect. And people have to understand that referees are going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And sometimes you just have to let it go. But, I mean, if what you're asking for is perfect officiating in basketball games at this level, there's no way that's going to happen. You just can't. It's too, you know, even in the high school level now, the game's getting so quick. And the athletes are getting so good that there's no way to call a perfect game. So you have to know when, you know, don't the ref, especially in big games like that was a big game yesterday. You can't be the narrative that you take out of the game. And I hope that goes away. And once again, we're talking to Sean Bach. He is at SBach247. Let's give Luca some love. Fran doing the jersey retirement, I thought was high class, and I don't expect anything else from him, especially when it's dealing with Luca and the two of those relationship.
Yeah, that was definitely well deserved. I mean, I think it was pretty cool to see like senior day him do it then, and you know, not like a month later, or you know, kind of just in like a normal press release announcement. I thought it was pretty cool to do it on senior day, and you know, kind of make that day that much more special for Luka Garza and Sammy. Now, there's the big debate, too. It's, you know, whether or not they should retire Jordan Bohannon's jersey. I mean, I know he's not one of, like, I think when you consider, you know, some of the best players to play at Iowa, I think, obviously, Luka's in the conversation. I mean, arguably is the best. But, like, where do you put Jordan Bohannon in there? Like, Maybe he can make himself a case in March that he should have his jersey retired. I know it's a whole career thing, but I think there's a possibility that, like, hey, maybe we can see this happen.
And I agree with that. I mean, he's in this resurgent. I mean, he's been a valuable part of that. Even in the early part, maybe even more than Luka and, you know, a couple injuries here and there. I don't disagree with that. Here would be my take is I'm not up on all the jersey retirements, but like an Andrew Woolridge or somebody like that, do they have their number retired?
That's a good question.
So we're going to have to, both of us are going to check that, you know, just for players in that kind of, you know, Dean Oliver in that kind of, cause that's where I kind of put him after watching a lot of Iowa Hawkeye basketball since I'm so old, but I get it though. And he's been, Luka deserves where he's at, but the heart of that team at times has always been Jordy Bohannon. He's the one that is going to get in somebody's face. He's going to hit a big shot. Luka's more, you know, that's the most emotional that I think I've seen Luka, and good for him. And it was very special for him. And I like that. And I thought, you know, that move Fran up in my eyes, and you know, Luka giving, you know, thanks to his dad. I mean, his dad's an important part. I mean, his dad's an important part of Iowa Hawkeye basketball.
Yeah, especially with like the social media era, and you know how many interactions he has with Iowa fans, and how he's so beloved. I mean, and just like the whole stories of him, and you know all the training that he's put Luka through, and you know, just that whole development too. It's really, really a cool story. And, you know, I think Iowa fans really have to appreciate these next couple months or this next month or so, because I mean, this is probably one of the best eras, or best years, at least, in program history. I mean, I know you talk about the Tom Davis days in the 1980s and, you know, those teams, but, like, these guys right here, like, this team has a chance to really do something special. And, you know, I think with all some of the controversy throughout the season, you know, the four out of five games they lost, and, you know, everyone talking about the fray and fade, you know, just to see kind of them end up at number five in the last AP poll of the regular season, right where they started at the beginning of the year at number five, I think that kind of put it in perspective to a lot of people to really appreciate what this season has been all about and, you know, the potential of what this team could do in March. It's going to be really fascinating to see what happens.
Once again, we're talking to Sean Bach. He's at SBach247. Here's a question I had, and I'm going to ask you. I'll ask David later in the week. If you had to choose right now and you could get healthy or win a Big Ten championship, probably thinking that either way, you're a 2 or a 3 seed, which one would you do?
So say that question again.
So if to get healthy, and even if Joe Wieskamp is not, you know, if it's not bad, it's just an ankle sprain and he gets better, would you not just saying, would you be disappointed if you didn't win a Big Ten championship, but you were healthy getting ready to go? So say you get beat the second game that you play, but you're healthy going into the NCAA tournament. Which would you take? Do you want to really go for that Big Ten championship and maybe, I mean, you're not, I don't think you get to that one line anyway. I think you'd be one of the, maybe a higher two. I think you have a 2 right now. Which would you take, having the team totally healthy going into the NCAA tournament or winning the Big Ten tournament on top of that?
Oh, I think healthy. I think you take healthy all the way. Yeah, because, I mean, look at, like, some of the past Big Ten teams. I know Michigan State has won the Big Ten tournament. I always feel like Wisconsin and Michigan State and Michigan, too, are the three teams playing for the Big Ten championship year in, year out. And, you know, they've had success in the NCAA tournament, but, you know, I mean, it's been a long time since a Big Ten team has won a national championship. So I think you go with the health. I think you take the health in the NCAA tournament because I think this team, once they start getting out of Big Ten play and playing more teams from out of conference in the tournament, that they'll match up better. I think their games will really – really resonate more. Cause I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy to prepare for an Iowa team on, you know, 1 or 2 days notice. I know if they get to the second weekend that teams are going to have more time to prepare for them. But, you know, if they get past those games, then that's going to be a really interesting to see how those teams kind of, you know, game plan for them and try to match up with them, because that could be that's where I think Iowa can really gel and really kind of, you know, break out in those instances when they play those games. Maybe those Big 12 teams, you know, those FCC teams, I know those teams are really more athletic than most of the Big Ten, but it's a different style of basketball those teams play that I think Iowa would really match up well with.
And I do too, and I think matching up well with them is having a healthy Wheezy and a healthy Frederick. I mean, that maybe CJ even, you know, having him completely healthy instead of, you know, every time he walks off the court, he looks like, you know, he needs help. You know, getting him as close to 100% as you possibly can to make that run. And I know people want to win the Big Ten championship, and I get that. But I just think this team and the way they, because I agree with you, I think they're very difficult to match up with. You know, they can play a couple of different ways. If you get a bruising team, I think you bring Keegan in and he gives you, you know, he's going to bruise right back. You know, and if you play a finesse team, I don't think a finesse team can beat this team. So, you know, having everybody healthy, I think, is so important. So, you know, hopefully word comes back on Joe today and everything turns out good. I think the biggest thing from this past weekend is Joe T. Getting some playing time and playing better and getting some confidence. I think that's a huge deal when they get into the NCAA tournament to give Jordy a rest because people are going to try to wear him out on the defensive end so he can't play offense.
Yeah, 100%. That's going to be interesting to see how Bohannon matches up with you know, those guys. And, you know, the saying goes, you experience guards win games in March. I mean, you look at Virginia a couple of years ago, or the last NCAA tournament title champion, Ty Jerome Kyle Guy. I know, you know, Jordan Bohannon and T.J. Frederick maybe aren't on the level of those guys of where they're at in their career now in the NBA, but, you know, that's the recipe. Those are the ingredients to succeed. And, you know, obviously you can have guys that can play really good offense, but you're going to need defense. And I think Bohannon's done a really good job of being more of an all-around player in the past couple of weeks, especially. I think I saw a stat today where his defense, I don't really know, I don't really trust, like, some of the individual, like, defensive statistics or, you know, ratings, analytics, but I think it's more of the eye test. But I think if you watch the games closely, you can see that he's really taken the next steps on the defenseman, and that's really helped Iowa's whole, you know, unit as a whole on defense. And, you know, it starts with the guards. Like I said, if you got guards that are playing well in March, that can create, that can score, that can play really just all around, then you've got to give as a shot as anyone. I mean, think about, I mean, I talked about Virginia. I mean, Villanova a couple years ago with Jalen Brunson. I know North Carolina didn't win that year, but Marcus Page, like, there's so many teams that have good guards. I mean, UConn teams with Shabazz Napier and Ryan Boatwright, Kemba Walker that one year. If you have guards that can help carry you to games, then I think that's really what sets you up to make a run in the NCAA tournament. I mean, I know it's not the case for everyone, but I think that's kind of the recipe for success. And Iowa's defensive play, too, I think, has been absolutely huge in, you know, the success recently, as opposed to, you know, that stretch where they lost 4 out of 5 games. So, you know, in March, everything's got to be clicking. That's the big thing. You got to be clicking at the right time. You know, I think this Iowa team doesn't necessarily have to win a Big Ten championship, but I think if they make a deep run in the Big Ten tournament, then that can really help their momentum as well.
All right, Sean, I appreciate it as always. 10 seconds. How in the world is Caitlin Clark not in the top 15 in the country? Unheard of.
I don't know. That's ridiculous.
It's
to me.
Crazy.
Ridiculous.
Top. As always, buddy, thanks for coming on. Have a good day.
Thanks, Dean. Talk to you next week.
Sean Bott. Been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. You get a wrap-up by Steen over the weekend and all the happenings right after the break.
You're listening to Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back into Steen on Sports. Hope everybody had a happy Monday. We're bringing sports your way every single day. We're doing that with the help of BetMGM. If you're going to sports gamble in sports betting in the state of Iowa, download the app BetMGM. Put some skin in the game. Have some fun. Just check in with all the specials that they have, all the parlay specials they have. Deposit some money and make some bets and make some money right now. Also want to thank Northwest Bank for hopping on. Just one workplace, best workplace for the 6th year in a row. It's a great place to work. It's even a better place to do your banking. 2 locations in Ankeny, 1 in West Des Moines. Member FDIC. Want to thank Sean Bach for coming in and talking Iowa Hawkeyes. And thank Kevin Lehman for coming in and talking about Drake Loyola, and he was calling the Missouri Valley this past weekend on the radio down in St. Louis, and it's always great to have him on. I want to take a time. We talked a little bit about Greg McDermott, and I thought about this a lot this weekend, and it even might have, with some of the things that are going on out there right now, it maybe even made me change my mind a little bit on the situation that's happening at Iowa State. And Greg McDermott and his resume that he has built up over time, and his coaching at Iowa State, at UNI, you know, and at Creighton now, he made a mistake. I understand he made a mistake. I think he's had long conversations with his players. Are his players upset about it? I would assume so. I think it also, they could be upset just because of all the you know, fanfare and delving into everything. You know, I hope Creighton sees this as a it's not a blip, because it's still important. Sometimes you say things, and I'm, once again, I've been through it. I understand. You can say something that you thought was perfectly harmless and have it come back and bite you, and I understand that. What you have to do after that happens is make, you know, you have to apologize. You have to make it be heartfelt, and then you have to try to rebuild. And I don't know if there's a better person out there that can rebuild than Greg McDermott. And I don't think he has that far to rebuild, because I just don't think he's that type of person. But I don't know. And I think it all comes down to what are the players going to do. And they're going to show you what they're going to do. And if they stay and they are satisfied with his apology and what's happening, then all will be good. If not, you'll see a change. But people need to realize that there's a lot. I mean, it's in the heat of the battle and all that. And there's no excuse for saying it. I understand that. It's not the day or the time. And it wasn't never the day or the time, even though it happened. And that's the part that we tend to, you know, that verbiage that he used was from a long time ago. Yeah, it was from a long time ago that people have been living with. We haven't been, but there's people that have been living with it, and it upsets them, and it's not right. And I understand that. But I also think that one thing like that, we're human. We're built that way, that we're going to make mistakes, and you have to be able to recover from your mistakes, and you have to have people being out there, being able to apologize and ask for forgiveness. And for people not willing to give forgiveness, just remember, it's going to happen to you. And what's going to be your reaction when people don't give you forgiveness? So hopefully Greg comes out of that. You know, this Les Miles thing has got me upside down crazy, that you have a report in the time that he was coaching at LSU, and that LSU had put in place rules that he couldn't be left alone with any female student, female athlete, whatever. None of that stuff's out in public on what had happened. They kept it all under wraps. But the athletic director knew, and you know, other people in the administration knew. Then you have Kansas after Les Miles is let go, not for that particular reason, but for not winning at LSU, because he only won 7 games a year. Then Kansas hires him, and there's no record of it. So how would they know to contact LSU's athletic director that said he was ready to fire him but couldn't because administration didn't want him fired? That stuff can't happen. And today I'm hearing people come on, well, it didn't happen at Kansas, it happened at LSU. It doesn't matter where it happened. If they had a rule that he couldn't be left alone, guys, you can't coach NCAA anything if you have something like that should be known. And people, I mean, the fact that LSU, if Kansas went to LSU and asked about that and they didn't get an upfront and honest answer, you know, that's a horrible thing on both their parts. And then you have somebody in the Missouri Valley at Indiana State that's still winning games for you, but they're not winning championships. It's Indiana State. And you let a good man go. And he hadn't done anything. No complaints against him. Players love him. All those things. And now you're going to look for a shortcut, because what's the only thing that's going to happen? You're going to try to get wins. And in order to get wins, maybe you take a couple of shortcuts. And that's going to happen. And then you're going to be put on probation. And then you're going to look back and go, okay, was being over 500 enough at Indiana State University? I don't think there's anybody in the country. And I have friends that have graduated from Indiana State University and have a couple of friends who have children that go there. The students and the student athletes, even though they may want to say, yes, we think we can win an NCAA championship, that's not their goals. What their goals are is what Greg Lansing's been getting them. And he's losing his job over that. And so that takes me back to what is happening at Iowa State. I'm a huge Iowa State fan. You know that. And I like winning and basketball because it's come hand in hand. And you had you can't even say it's a bad season. It's an unheard of season in the Iowa State program over the last 20 years. and you had injuries, and I understand that, and you had all these things. And I, for one, have said, you know, I don't know how you survive, because everything in these sports anymore, especially in Power 5 conferences, that's one reason the Missouri Valley is not a Power 5 conference. So what the expectations are on Greg Lansing and at Loyola and on Darren DeVries at Drake and all these things, it's not a Power 5 conference. So you can't expect them to have the years. And even when Drake and Loyola have great years, and I mean great years, and a great run through their tournament, it's still not rewarded fully because you don't think that they're a Power 5 conference. So the wins that they had don't count as much as the wins that you do if you're in a Power 5 conference. And we could sit here and fight about that every day. But the simple fact of the matter is Steve Prohm cares about his student athletes and has had a winning record at Iowa State. He's had a couple of lean years. But when you look at some of the stuff that's going on out there on different programs that are in trouble because of, you know, unscrupulous things happening, and how can I, as I sit here in this chair talking about the culture that Matt Campbell brings, well, Steve Prohm brings the same culture. We're not mad at him because players aren't, I mean, players are playing hard. They're not getting in trouble. You know, that's the, I understand the pressure. And until you look through Twitter or you look on ESPN or you look on CBS Sports and you see all the things that are going wrong in college coaching and what's happening on these programs, Sean Miller should never have another coaching job with what's happening in Arizona. And you've had more. And then you've also had coaches that have been accused of stuff and found innocent, but they still lost everything that they had. And the NCAA can take that away. I don't want the NCAA running everything. I don't think they're capable of doing that. But I know that I'm not capable of making decisions for Iowa State University and spouting off about what it means for wins and losses. I understand. I love watching winning basketball. I also love Iowa State. And I love the way that they have, the way Jamie has this going at Iowa State. So I'm changing course today, and I apologize, and I'll have people mad at me. But when you have other places that are, that I mean, there's blatantly cheating, trying to get where we want him to go, but he's not willing to do that, that's the guy I want coaching. So today, changing my mind on that, because I think it's more important. You know, I don't want to have people coming and investigating the school that I love. And it's not happening. It's not going to happen with the coaches that we currently have up there. I don't care if it's Bill Finley, Kevin Dresser, Matt Campbell, Steve Prohm. It won't happen. And it won't happen with Jamie Pollard. And the way that they've done and gone through all this, I'm in, and I apologize. I apologize to Coach Prohm. I get that you should be able to have a bad season. As long as you're doing it the right way, you should be allowed, and you shouldn't give a crap what I say. But hopefully you understand that all the pressures there are of you know, how much we want to win. And it goes, for me to say the stuff that I've said in the last couple of weeks, goes against everything that I'm saying about how we should be treating these student athletes. So, Coach Prohm, keep doing what you're doing. Go down there and win a couple of games. Show the people what you're made of, and let's go. You've been listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing you sports your way every day.